Turn with me, please, if you have a Bible, to the Gospel according to Luke. Luke's Gospel, please, and chapter 19. It is indeed a wonderful thing to be saved. And we're really going to look at that expression, lost, in this one verse of Scripture that we're going to read together in Luke chapter 19. That's the third book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, then comes Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, and verse number 10. Luke chapter 19, and verse number 10. This is my favorite verse in the Bible, and it is a lovely text of Scripture. It's the words of the Lord Jesus. Listen to them tonight as he was speaking to a man who was just saved. Just like Brother Darrell, the night he was saved, he got the Word of God. Well, here was a man who was saved this day. His name was Zacchaeus, and he got the word of Christ. Luke 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." I want you to notice that verse again. Listen to it. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now, I want to ask a question again that my brother Darrell has already been addressing to you this evening. Are you saved? Are you saved? It's a very important question to answer. It's an important question that we ask whenever we come to the Word of God, because whenever it comes to the preaching of the gospel tonight, that really is a question that divides humanity. It not only divides humanity outside of this building, but those tonight who are seated here listening to the Word of God, it divides every individual here. There's only two classes of people from God's perspective whenever it comes to the gospel. Either a person is lost or a person is saved. Now that's illustrated on this chart that is behind me and in front of you, and I don't know if it has caught your eye after you came in and sat down, you notice this chart that is behind us. And this chart really expresses those two classes. The broad way really illustrates everyone who is lost. The narrow way illustrates everyone who is saved. So everyone in this meeting tonight is either on the broad way that leads to hell, or they're on the narrow way which leads to heaven. In other words, every person is either lost or saved. So again, we ask the question, are you saved? If we were to give you a marker that you could come up and put an X on the chart as to where you are tonight, where would you put it on the chart? Would you put it on the road that leads to hell? Or would you put it on the road that leads to heaven? Every person who is on the road that goes to heaven has a moment in their life, just like my brother Darrell had, a moment when they came to personally trust the Lord Jesus Christ, that moment of salvation. In fact, this man to whom the Lord Jesus was speaking about, this man by the name of Zacchaeus, he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And in fact, he realized that he was missing something of all that he had in life. And he had great wealth, great riches were his. Likely a lot of the riches he had was ill gains that he got by, you know, taking too much from people. He was a tax collector, this man by the name of Zacchaeus. But with all that he had, he realized there's an empty void within. There is something that I'm missing. And he sought to see Jesus. He sought to see Jesus. Maybe there's someone in this gospel meeting tonight, and that's why you're here presently, because you're seeking for Jesus. You're looking for him. It was the marvel, really, of all marvels that Zacchaeus, who sought to see Jesus, climbed up a sycamore tree, and hiding there in the greenery of that tree, the Lord Jesus walked by right to where he was. And Zacchaeus, who sought to see Jesus, the Lord Jesus was seeking for him. There came a moment when the Lord Jesus came right to the tree where Zacchaeus was, and he looked up and he said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Zacchaeus made haste And he came down and he received him joyfully. And that moment that he received the Savior was the moment of his salvation. And now the Lord Jesus, in the very home of Zacchaeus, the Lord Jesus said, today is salvation come to this house. For as much as thou art a son of Abraham. And then the Lord Jesus said to Zacchaeus, words of assurance. Oh, they're blessed words. Listen tonight. If you're lost in this gospel meeting, you're not saved. Listen to the words of Christ tonight, won't you? For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The words of the Savior really answer man's greatest problem. I want you to think just briefly with me of that description, lost. What does it mean to be lost? Brother Darrell mentioned about our ancestors, something that I inherited from my parents, the sin nature. We can go all the way back to the Garden of Eden when sin first entered the world. And the Bible tells us about that in Romans chapter number 5, verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. Mind you, that's why the world is in the condition it's in today. That's why there's so much disarray. And there's so much discontentment. And there's so much discouragement and so much darkness and so much defilement. The reason why the world is in the state it is in today is because sin entered the world and contaminated everything, contaminated everyone, all marked by sin. There's a verse in Isaiah, and it says this, and I want you to listen to this tonight, because I will never stand accountable. If a person stands before the great white throne judgment and they stand before the Lord Jesus, they'll not answer for the sins of Adam. They'll not answer for the sins of ancestors. They'll not answer for the sins of parents or the sins of siblings or the sins of friends. While I inherited and you inherited your sin nature from your forefathers, you will stand accountable for your own sin. Listen to what the Bible says in the book of Isaiah. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sin has hid his face from you. Yes, we may have inherited a sin nature from our forefathers. But Adam's sin never made me sin. My sin is sin by choice. My sin is sin that I willfully committed against God, and those are the sins that I will stand answerable for. And my sin has separated me from God. And that is the language of the Savior here. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. This description, to be lost, is to be separated from God. And it is my sin that has separated me from God. Oh, friend, get a hold of that tonight in this gospel meeting. It is your sin that is the great problem. You say, what is sin? Well, very, very simply, sin is disobedience against God. And so we come to the Bible, and when we come to the Bible, God declares what sin is. And whether it's lying, whether it's cheating, whether it's stealing, whether it's idolatry, all these things, blasphemy, they're sins against God. And we come to the Bible and we learn the reality of our sin. And that sin has separated us from God. And sin is separation from God. To be lost is to be separated from God. I want you to think about that for a minute. There are people today in this gospel meeting, and they're separated from God. There's no link with heaven. There are people, and they have religion, And they have religion right up to the eyeballs. They have good works. And they have so much good works. But they're separated from God. They can even have baptism and church membership, just like my brother Daryl had, and yet be separated from God. Sin has separated us from God. A description. We're lost. But you know, it's one thing to be separated from God in time. But I want you to think about the sobering reality of the gospel. Is there are those that will be separated from God for eternity. Eternity. Time ends. And then eternity. Could I ask you tonight, not thinking about your plans down the future too far. I'm just thinking right now. Right now. If you were to pass from time into eternity right now, where would you be? You see, we can have all the plans in the world. We could have our education all lined up as to where we're going to go. We could have our job applications all submitted and we know where we plan to work. And we can have all these plans for the future. But what about if time ended tonight and you entered eternity? I recently came across a story. Alan Kember was visiting from Ontario, and I was just speaking to him, and I was telling Brother Andrew today just of this gentleman who I thought he worked on clocks, and I reread the story. He was a cobbler in a certain community. He was a cobbler, worked on shoes, you know, with his father, and his father passed away. His father was a Christian, a man who knew the gospel. And this young lad, Daniel was his name, 17 years of age, when his father passed into eternity. And so he had to keep the home and keep the business to kind of just keep things in order for his mother. And he wasn't saved. And there was one day when Daniel was working in the cobbler shop. And it was getting late at night. And Daniel heard in the corner, in the corner of the cobbler shop, there was one of those old grandfather clocks. And it had the tick of the clock. Tick, 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 tick. And for whatever reason, while Daniel was working on the shoes in the cobbler shop, this little phrase came into his mind as that grandfather clock began to tick. Forever, where? Forever, where? Forever, where? Every time the clock tick, tick, tock, tick, tock, forever, where? Forever, where? And it bothered Daniel. It bothered him to the core. And he thought to himself, I have to stop that clock. And so he went over to the grandfather clock. He couldn't focus on his work in the cobbler shop. So he went over and he stopped the old grandfather clock. And as he stopped that clock and he began to work again in the quietness and the stillness of the evening hour, in his mind, just that same expression continued. Forever, where? Forever, where? Forever, where? You know what Daniel thought? Daniel thought, I could stop that old grandfather clock. And I could stop the tick, but I can't stop time. And one of these days, time will end for me forever. Where? Forever. Where? And he thought about his sin. And he thought, oh God, how can I be saved from my sin? Forever. Where? And Daniel faced the reality that he was separated from God. He was lost in his sins. And if he died the way he was, forever where? Daniel realized he'd be lost forever. Separated from God forever. He got down on his knees in that old cobbler's shop. And he said, God, be merciful unto me, the sinner. He called out to God for mercy. Oh, thank God, there is mercy that God is ready to dispense to sinners who admit their sin before God. Sinners who acknowledge their loss, and Daniel in that cobbler shop with the tick of the clock that he turned back on because he knew he couldn't stop it. Eternity where? Eternity where? There was peace in his heart as he appreciated that Christ died for a sinner like me, and he trusted Christ. No longer lost, the man who made a discovery. In fact, I want you to think about this text again. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Great description. Lost. I want you to think about a great discovery. You know, it's a wonderful thing when someone discovers I'm lost. I'm lost. I was in the home of an individual, of a couple, actually not all that long ago, just not too far from here. And I was sitting down around their kitchen table. Very religious couple. They would attend a certain church, and they have lots of good works. And they've attended lots of church services. And I sat down and I began to talk to them. And the gentleman began to speak a little bit. And I said, calling him by name, I said, are you saved? He said, Tim, I just don't know. I said, let me put a little illustration to you. I said, suppose we had a roadmap and you didn't know where you were. How would you describe yourself? You know what the old gentleman said? He said, Tim, I suppose I would have to admit that I'm lost. I said, I got good news for you. I said, there's a verse that's ringing in my ears right now. The Bible gives me an answer for those who are lost. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You see, there's some people tonight, and whenever that question is asked, I wish I could tell you tonight that gentleman is saved. He's not. To my knowledge, he's not saved. Not yet. God in his grace is able to save him. He's admitted that he's lost. That's a step in the right direction. When a person admits, I'm lost. But again, we ask that question, are you saved? And again, we come to this chart. And if I were to ask you tonight, where on the chart are you? If you don't know, if you're not sure, could we clear things up for you tonight? Could we just slow things down? If you don't know where you are, I tell you what the Bible says. You're lost. You're lost. But there is good news for those who discover they're lost. Those who discover they're separated from God, and those who discover they're sinners on the road to hell. For such people, listen to what the Savior said. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, my friend, listen. I think of that lovely title of the Lord Jesus. This is really the great declaration of the text. The Son of Man is come. Come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, I think of that lovely title given to the Lord Jesus. It's really a title of divinity. We could read about that title way back in the prophecy of Daniel. And it is a title that anticipated the coming into the world of the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. And into the world, the blessed Savior came, the Son of God. And here he was upon earth, the very Son of Man, God manifested in flesh. You know, I think of the words of the Lord Jesus. And as he spoke of himself being the Son of Man, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Do you know, there would be no salvation that we could offer you tonight from the living God, had it not been for Calvary, had it not been for the cross. You see, the Lord Jesus said the Son of Man must be lifted up. The Lord Jesus was making reference to the fact that he had to be crucified. If the Lord Jesus never died, if the Lord Jesus never suffered for sins, then we would have to suffer for our sins forever. But God has provided a way whereby sinners could be saved from their sin because Christ has died. That's a marvelous thing. When the Lord Jesus was on the cross, listen to this lovely hymn. The judgment fell on Jesus' head. by his shed blood, sin's debt is paid. God's justice will demand no more, and God's mercy can dispense its store. Oh, Calvary is the place where God has been satisfied on account of sin. Maybe you're wondering tonight, how do we know God is satisfied? How do we know that God, when the Lord Jesus said, "It is finished," the Lord Jesus was saying, "I am satisfied with the work that I've accomplished." But how do we know that God is satisfied with the work that Christ accomplished? Just as the Son of Man must be lifted up, there's another verse, and the Lord Jesus again referring to himself. After 3 days, the Son of Man must rise from the dead. Do you know how I know God is satisfied tonight? Because God raised his Son from the dead. And tonight, right here in this little hall in O'Leary, we can preach a living Christ who has power to save. The Lord Jesus, again speaking of himself, the Son of Man, he says the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. And tonight, your sins that separate you from God, because Christ is satisfied with the work he accomplished, because God is satisfied with the work that his Son accomplished, my friend, you can be satisfied in Christ tonight. You can find forgiveness in him. And here was Zacchaeus, this man who sought to see Jesus, who he was. The marvel is that day he received salvation. The Lord Jesus said to him, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Let me ask you tonight, are you saved or are you lost? You say, what makes the difference? Christ makes all the difference. Christ makes all the difference. And so really the question can be asked, do you have him? Do you have Christ? There's a verse in John, 1 John, is it? 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 12. "He that hath the Son hath life." It's a wonderful thing to have the Son. We're not asking tonight if you have a profession. We're not asking tonight if you have religion. We're not asking tonight if you have a church that you attend or if you've been baptized. We're asking you, do you have Christ? Do you have him? You know what Zacchaeus had that day? He had him. I never read it together, but I mentioned it, that he received him joyfully. He received him joyfully. The Bible says this in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse number 12, "As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name." This text, a great description, lost. A great discovery, I am lost. A great declaration, the Son of Man is come. I want you to think, just as I close, of a great deliverance that can be yours tonight. You want to be saved? You want to be saved tonight? You want to know for sure your sins are forgiven? You want to know for sure that heaven is your eternal home? You know, I can't help but think, particularly whenever I speak on this verse, I can't help but think of a little piece of ground in Newfoundland. It was called Aunt Lucy's Garden. And there was a little tent pitch there 26 years ago. Hard to believe how many years have gone by. Every now and then when I'm in Newfoundland, I drive by McIver's, Newfoundland, drive through it, small little town, and I just look at that piece of ground where there was a tent pitched. And I go back to that night in my experience when I discovered I'm lost. And for the very first time, I appreciated the Lord Jesus came for me. For me. We love to sing those words. We sang it with the children this morning. It was for me. Yes, all for me. O love of God, so great, so free. O wondrous love, I'll shout and sing. He died for me. Could I ask you tonight, who was Calvary for? Why did the Lord Jesus die? For who did he die? You know, I can say tonight, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And I was the lost one that he came to save. My friend, you trust in Christ tonight, and you will discover the great deliverance that is found in him. Shall we pray? Father, we bow before thee in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we are thankful indeed for the power that is found in the preaching of the cross. And we are thankful, Father, for such clarity whenever it comes to conversion, and people can know for sure, based upon the written word of God, that their sins indeed are gone, settled forever, sin's tremendous claim. And we pray, Lord, that even tonight there would be those who have listened to the word of God who would turn from their sins and trust the Savior. Part us with thy blessing, we ask of thee, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.